Praise his wonderful name. Amen. How many appreciate being here tonight? Amen. Let us continue to worship him, to praise him. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of its treasures. Jesus, thy perfect likeness away. Just sing this song, we worship him and sing a little bit. The Bible says Paul and Silas at midnight sang the praises of God. Amen. Then something began to happen. You just let loose the Holy Spirit. God began to shake them. The prisons, open up the prison doors, the chains, everything began to fall off. Great miracle had taken place. Amen. We've been praying, now we're going to worship him in song a little bit. Sing to him. If you have confidence that God heard your prayer, your prayer came up into his ear tonight. If you have a melody of praise, number 42, if not, I'll just call the words here. Oh, to be like thee,
to be like thee, blessed be thee.
Oh, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit.
Gladly I'll forfeit
all of earth's treasures.
All of earth's treasures.
Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear.
Jesus, thy perfect.
To be like thee,
to be like thee.
Oh, blessed Redeemer,
oh,
be like thee.
Blessed Redeemer,
pure as thou art. Sweetness. Amen. Come in thy fullness tonight, Lord.
Come in thy fullness.
Stamp thine own image. Deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion.
Oh, to be like.
Oh, we all need that tonight.
Full of compassion.
Loving, forgiving.
Loving, forgiving.
Amen. Tender and kind. Oh, helping the helpless. Cheering the fainting.
Cheering the fainting.
Seeking the wandering sinner. Like thee, oh, to be like thee tonight. May he give us a fresh revelation of his life.
pure as dough art. Oh, come in thy sweetness tonight, Lord. Come in thy fullness.
Come in thy fullness.
I'm thine own image.
I'm thine own image.
Deep on my heart.
Deep on my heart.
Oh, to be like thee. Lowly in spirit,
lowly
in spirit,
holy and harmless,
patient and brave. Meekly enduring,
be enduring
cruel reproaches, willing to suffer. Sisters in the chorus, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee. Oh, you just worship the Lord, brothers, just let's all stay the spirit. Oh, may God just stamp that even deep in our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. Let just empty out. Let just let go and let him have his own way tonight. That is a promise in this hour. God wants to bring his church to that place. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I'm coming to thee.
Oh, to
Lord, I'm coming.
Lord,
I'm coming. Now to receive.
Now to receive.
Oh, the anointing divine. All that I am,
all that I am,
and have I am bringing, have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment,
oh,
let's mean that now, all shall be done. Singing, oh, to be like thee. I want to be like Jesus tonight. He was the one that pleased the Father.
Oh, to be like thee.
Blessed,
redeemed.
Oh, pure as thou art. Stamp thine own image. deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee. Pleading tonight, pour on thy spirit, amen. Fill with thy love, oh, make me a temple tonight. Fit me for life.
Fit me for life.
And heaven above.
Heaven above.
Oh, let us all sing now. To be like thee, oh, to be like you.
Oh, to
be like thee. Full of compassion. I believe that is so timely tonight. We all desire that tonight. We get your prayer. Loving, forgiving.
Forgive.
Tender and kind. Oh, we all want to be like that. Helping the helpless. Sharing the fainting. Seeking the wandering, seeking to find. If that expresses what we feel in our heart at this time, our vision of the Lord Jesus, that we too can live a life worthy of this gospel, that we can be like him, that he can live that same life in and through us, showing he's the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh God, we desire that tonight. Even though it is a song we sing, oh God, but we pour out the depths of our hearts unto you, Lord. Lord, we feel the expressions what we feel on the inside. Oh God, Lord, to be like you, Lord, be more like you. That people will take note that we have been with you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We exalt you tonight, Lord. We worship you in spirit and truth. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. How great thou art, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, thank you for your great divine presence that is here. Stamp that image in our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Let it burn deep down on the inside. Let it show from the inside out, Lord. Let it touch hearts and lives in the, about us, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, they will let you go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom, more grace to know.
Deeper, higher.
Every day, Jesus.
Amen. Till all comes to pass.
of the real believer tonight.
Thank you.
Portion before tells us about the legion being delivered, then Jesus coming to Jairus' house, then the woman with the issue of blood was healed, and then verse 35, while he had spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain who said, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he permitted no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and those who wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he said unto them, why make you this ado and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entereth in where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said unto her, Talita Kumai, which has been interpreted, little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the child arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. God bless me, I'll be seated. A beautiful little story, and we just want to maybe take a few minutes just to just encourage your heart and strengthen your faith. I believe it's a great, tremendous time that we are living in, and so much is happening, and when we see where God wants to lift us up into, we've been speaking about raising up in a higher order, looking to the unseen, and how things happen in that world before it happens in this world. Because Jesus said, I can do nothing except the Father first show me. Is what he saw, is what he spoke. And you know, as these things begin to come plain to us and real to us, I believe it would put our hearts and our minds in such an attitude towards the promises of God, even towards the situations that we are confronted with, that we wouldn't find ourselves frustrated or perplexed or just, you know, under the power and the influence of these things that we're faced with, that we live in such a negative condition many times. But that if we can truly see what God is trying to say to us, the way he's trying to lift us up into, we could walk with such a positive atmosphere of faith, knowing in whom we believe in, regardless of how much negative is around us. You know, this little story here, this little portion of scripture read, as we are beginning to find out that the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God, how it changes things. God's grace is sovereign. Because it's nothing that we can merit. It's nothing that we can do to deserve God doing anything for us. If we have faith to please God, because God gave us faith. If God don't give us faith, we don't have no faith. Nobody could have influenced God to tell him to come and die for us. He sent back the Holy Spirit. He's interested in us.
By grace are we saved, not of works that any man should boast. So we realize that whenever God does something that we are a recipient of, it's not because we deserve it, but because God chooses to express His grace towards us. We might all be in a situation here tonight where we may have need of something special from Him. It's going to take His grace to do that. Whatever we have need of, whatever we recognize is missing in our lives, whatever we have before us, so we'd like God to intervene on our behalf and act on our behalf, we cannot pull nothing out of God. We cannot force God into a situation. It's going to depend on His grace. Whenever we see a miracle happen in the Bible, whenever we see something great, some great work of God expressed, that is God's sovereign grace at work. You know, the prophet says, when love projects sovereign grace, takes over. Sovereign grace produces something. Sovereign grace says, I am Jehovah who created the heavens and the earth. Speak to the storm. He said, notice I wasn't praying and asking Him to speak the word. Sovereign grace. Tell Him, tell her to write whatsoever she asks. She can have it right now. She didn't know what to ask. She said, what to ask? What should I ask, Brother Brown? Sovereign grace. Look at him saying, well, there's nothing in the woods. I guess I'll just sit down and wait for the brothers. Sovereign grace said, but you're hunting and you need game and you can't find any. Why don't you speak for it? Sovereign grace, and look at that little fish there. Speak to it. Amen. And he's a little fishy. Jesus Christ give you life. Yes. So we realize that sovereign grace coming down and taking over. It's grace that taught my heart to fear. It's grace my fear's relief. Yes. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Yes. And too many dangers, toils, and snares I've already come. His grace have brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Grace is the author and the finisher. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. That headstone will come with shoutings of grace, grace. It's grace that provided the pillar of fire. It's grace that sent a prophet. It's grace that gave the token. Hallelujah. But man wanted the law. It's grace that gave Abraham an unconditional covenant. Sovereign grace. Grace that raised up Jairus' daughter. He was a secret believer. He didn't come out and identify himself with a sure faith. Circumstances in his home caused God to force the issue. His circumstances that push him out there to the forefront when God touched the thing that he loved the most. But to stand up and tell his associates, brethren, we are wrong. What we believe is wrong. This is the Messiah. If you all don't believe it, I believe it. I'll stand for it. He didn't make that kind of decision. Yet suffering grace. Turn around and tell him. After they says, don't trouble the master no more. The guilt is dead. Grace says, but fear not, only believe. I will go with you. Amen. Now, is something here. I want to speak a little about creating the right atmosphere. All these things that we are talking about, all these things that has stimulated our thinking in these last few services. All these things that have pushed us out to a sphere where we want to walk in that consciousness with God. We want to live in that world and have that realization. But there's something that goes with it. Living in that atmosphere. Knowing how to create that atmosphere. Knowing that that atmosphere changes things. Knowing that you can change the situation.
knowing that you can maintain your faith in the midst of all negative criticism and everybody against you. Jesus didn't want nobody else to follow him except Peter, James, and John. Because by the time he told Jairus, fear not, only believe. He knew, now I'm going to walk into a place where I have to walk in the right atmosphere. I have to have the right mechanics with me. When he went in there and he saw they begin to make a bunch of fussing and carrying on and crying and weeping and wailing and these things. And he saw the tumult. He knew then that could hinder what God was fixing to do. He was so conscious that the atmosphere had to be right for what God could do for that girl. The Bible says in another scripture in the same record, he put everybody out. And he went in that room and he locked the door. And he only had Peter, James, and John, and Jairus and his wife with him. Why was he doing all that? It wasn't happening by chance. He was working in that realm. He was walking in that realization. And he knew the importance of creating the right atmosphere. I want to read something to you out of my message called Divine Love. Because it is something that must project for grace to operate. A couple of weeks ago, I was preaching about a law of self-sacrifice. Look what it brought the widow into. When the prophet said, bake me a cake first, he was putting her heart and mind into a channel. Little was she conscious, he was putting her into a channel where she could receive something from God. Because the channel she was in and talking from, and the boy will eat and die, was a channel that was blocking the supernatural out. So he had to get her out of that and put in a channel to put God first. So he said, bake me a cake first. He had to change her thinking about what she was confronted with. Sometimes we come to God for things and we want things and we grab. We sense God's presence close and we get excited. Sometimes the word is laid out in such a way that it challenges our heart. We know God can do those things. And we try to push our way through to get it. Only to be disappointed. But when we saw how a law of obedience, while everybody was in that spirit, Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And he said, step out of the boat and walk. Come, it is I, be not afraid. And we saw what it put him into. Martha and them had a lot of respect. She had all rights to tell him certain things. We fed you, we housed you. We sent a message and it never came. I ain't following this thing. See, he care for nobody. She never got there. If she had gotten there, nothing would have happened. Even when her faith was falling, sovereign grace was so determined to bring Lazarus out of the grave. He said, sayest I not unto you, you will see the glory of God? Roll the stone away. And cause her to stay under the influence of his voice, that she can act out what was God's will revealed to him in the vision that she must do to receive what she was asking for. We realize many times that we fail to recognize we must cooperate with God's word. It's going to take we and God working together. It's going to take the harmony between the Father and the Son to exist between the bridegroom and the bride for these things to take place. It's not just going to be we want it to happen or we know God say he can do it. Something about the human spirit. The prophet here was Jesus talking to him on the well. Had racial discrimination, prejudice the minds of the people. Say, you, a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan? She was under that kind of influence. So he began to talk to her. He said, why was he talking to her? To contact a spirit. He said, woman, give me a drink. He looked for an opportunity to create conversation because he wanted to find what her problem was. Then she said, he says, if you know who speak to you, you'd ask of me for a drink. She says, well, are you greater than our father Jacob who dig this well? And they're talking like that. But he's purposely and consciously doing that to find her problem. He said, all that time, no vision had broken yet. He was trying to contact the spirit so the vision could break. Because he couldn't do nothing except the father for showing. And then he began to talk to her a little more. And then finally, he said, go get thy husband. Because the vision had broken. When the vision broke and he saw the problem, he said, go get your husband. She said, well, I have no husband. He said, thou hast rightly said. Because you've had five. And the one you're living with now is not your husband. It happens in that world first. Before it happens here.
Yes, yes.
You say, what do you mean? The people would come sick. And until he don't see that dark shadow leave them, or that light hang over them, he could never pronounce them healed. When he saw them healing the vision, then he speaks it here.
That's right.
Look at Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And he saw the tree cut down in the dream before he was cut down for 7 years and then restored back. Look at God, he let Ahab go up and be destroyed in the battle. And let me get a lance put to do it. And my cast out in the vision first. And then Ahab could die in the battle. When we realize the things that is to happen, happens in that realm first. And then we reflect it. Then we want to live so close where we could truly be under the true influence. Where we could live with a revelation of God's will. When we don't have a revelation of God's will, anything can move us. Because you are trying to use positive thinking then. But when you have a revelation of God's will, regardless everybody say it can't happen, you know it's going to happen. Because it don't go by no human influence, nothing in this temporal visible realm. It goes because God have decreed it to be thus. Now watch. He says here, now it's strange that how that people, the type of people, and what we do in our association. Now we all have to face the facts that there is people that you just love to be around, and there's people that's fine people and you love them, but yet there is something about the person that you just can't hardly stay around them. Now we want to talk a fact. Now the reason that is because of the atmosphere that the individual himself or herself create. Because you are a miniature creator, because you are sons and daughters of God. No matter how far you stooped in sin, you are still sons and daughters of God because you are fallen, degenerated in your soul and mind. But God is your creator. And in your fallen estate, you are a lost, undone creation of God, dominated by the devil. That's right, but you're still sons and daughters of God. He said, now hear this. And it's pretty sharp. But no person is in their right mental status until they've accepted the Lord Jesus. That's a deep word. But that's the truth. No person is mentally right until they've accepted Christ Jesus as personal Savior. He said, that sounds, but it's the Bible, certainly. That is true. He's the one. And in your created being, now you'll be crazy to the world when you do that. Because you'll have to come out of the atmosphere you are in, into the other atmosphere. When you do that, God lifts you right up from the world and you live in a heavenly atmosphere. And then to the world, it is just contrary to what that is, and that this is contrary to the world. Now what you want to do is to be lifted up by Christ into an atmosphere where you are happy, peaceful, And then and there, you create a situation. Now, many times it's in churches. This may seem strange, but you just watch it. Now, this is for the church. It's for the people. The people get one another's spirit. Instead of getting the Holy Spirit, you go into a group of people and you watch the way a person acts. And them kind of people that come into that congregation, the first thing you know, they act the same way. You take a good man and a bad man, he'll either become a good man or her a bad woman. And the atmosphere that you live in, you project through your associates what you are. Then what type of people ought we to be if we are Christian? What type of an atmosphere should we live in? In a consoling, soothing, healing atmosphere we should live in. With our hearts constantly in prayer, with a deep love for every person we come in contact with. If I say this to the little church that's prayed for me, for the world mission, that's my success in praying for the sick. If I can get right down in the feeling of the sickness with the person, it usually doesn't do any good. You've got to come right down until you feel it yourself. Amen. A message called Explaining Healing. He's speaking about Jairus. He says, now, they kept on walking up to Jairus' house. Jesus said, just believe. That's all I ask you to do, only believe. He said, now, what's all this carrying on here about? He said, all this screaming and crying and going on about. He said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they said, did you hear what that fanatic said? When we've got her embalmed and laying out in the air, she's not dead, but sleeping. He said, oh, isn't that really? I tell you, they ought to run him out of the country. He walked into the house where all that was at. Yeah. How could he do anything where that kind of unbelief was? He said, every one of you get out. Put them out of the house. Get going, every one of you. He was wondering who had faith. He said, Peter, James, John, oh, hope, faith, charity, come here. That's what he was to have. Bring them in. Now remember in the Bible, I think it's in Mark 6. He said Jesus couldn't do works in a certain city because of the unbelief of the people. Now unbelief can't really hinder God. But it can hinder the people who has an unbelieving heart. Now if God gets in a church where there is unbelief, God will still be God because he's God. But unless the people don't get away from their unbelief and get into the atmosphere where they can believe God, where they can expect, where they can confess that God can do those things, where they make ready for it to happen, it will not happen. If they can do that, you watch, it won't have to have no struggle or strain, regardless of what the need is. You believe that? Now watch. He come into the house and he is revealing something now. He said, the girl in there, she's sleeping. Now he know what he was talking about. Yes. You know what happened? They sit down there and refuse to believe that he know what he was talking about. Yes. He was in one atmosphere and they were in another atmosphere. And when he began to talk about her raising from the dead, they were not ready to change the atmosphere to expect her to be raised. Now sometimes the condition the word finds us in, we have to change and readjust. Elijah found that woman saying, the boy and I are going to eat and die. And he had to change the atmosphere around the woman and put in an atmosphere to expect that she had a house going to eat until God called for rain. Amen. 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 Now, sometimes we don't realize we can take one position and our minds halt our concept, and in doing that, we begin to battle God. And we're waiting to see maybe God's word fail to prove our word right. But sometimes God, in long suffering and grace, wants you to let go and trust God. While the whole boat was saying, it's a spirit. He began to speak, and the atmosphere around Peter began to change. And all the spirit talk and the unbelief talk couldn't hinder Peter no more. Because he got into the atmosphere, the one who was speaking and calling him. But you see, Peter had to want to walk there. And he knew that that kind of desire was in Peter for the supernatural things. That's why he didn't call all of them the boat, but he called Peter. He said, you come. Now, sometimes God can call you to a place with him. He can call you to a place where he can confirm his word in your life. Because down in your heart, you believe them things you read about. Down in your heart, you believe them things you hear God talk about. Something in your heart tells you, Jesus Christ is the same today and as great as he ever was, and you ain't no different to them apostles back there believing those things when they walk with him. And if you are just like them, believing the same kind of message today. It is the way you think about it. It is the way you set your attitude to relate towards it. It is the kind of atmosphere you get in and begin to confess it, that you create around you, that God can do it. As long as you stay in that unbelieving atmosphere and expect God to do it, he can't come to you there. But when you begin to believe, when you begin to confess, when you begin to change the atmosphere around you, when you're conscious that atmosphere will drive away the Holy Spirit, it will paralyze the Holy Spirit operating. But then you can create an atmosphere that will let loose the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The world will explode and you see it materialize. There's three different atmospheres people live in. One can live in the outer court, one can live in the inner court, and one can live in the most holy place. Is there everybody with it in manner? Is that right? Yeah. Now the thing is, when that strikes your soul and you realize there's a place a man lives with God, a realm, an atmosphere, a consecrated life shut in, where the supernatural takes place, where the dry dead rod brings forth, where the manna never becomes contaminated. You can hear the message 10 years ago. The promise is still real to you tonight. Amen. Amen. Abraham heard it quite back to 25 years. It was still fresh. As fresh as ever. Why? Where his life was. Expecting God to bring that to pass. But Sarah's life wasn't there. So she was manufacturing down here. And when that didn't work, then she started to laugh with unbelief where it could really happen. And until God didn't bring Sarah life in the air, it couldn't produce the promise. It wasn't God now getting the ability to do what he wanted to do. It was Sarah getting the condition where it could happen in her life. That's where God wanted to move this little church and move every individual here. He walked into the house where all that was at. And how could he do anything where that kind of unbelief was? He said, every one of you get out. Put them out of the house. Get going. Every one of you except Peter, James, and John. He said, that's what he has to have. Bring them in. Yeah. Jairus would have a little faith. And he had been talking to his wife. And so she got a little faith too. Remember, she wasn't there. She was in the house. When Jairus come home, he says, you know what happened, honey? I saw that woman press through and touch him and get healed. And my faith was really rising. And I wanted to know what he was going to do. And he looked around, and he felt where that pull of faith pulled that strength out of him. And when he found the channel, he said, daughter, thy faith have saved thee. I tell you, what we call mental telepathy, I saw it operate there. He said, then when they tell me that the girl died in trouble, the master no more, he looked at me with them same eyes, and he looked at the woman with it.
And I felt like I was naked before him. And he told me something. He says, have faith, only believe. It's like he knew I begin to have fear that very moment. He said, honey, I tell you, something's going to happen. I don't know how, I can't explain it. And she began to get faith from him. That's what happens, friend. It moves in the house from one to the next. Sometimes the wife don't have it, sometimes the husband don't have it. But the wife in the right atmosphere, the husband in the right atmosphere, they can begin to project that faith. To one another. Yeah. He said the kind of spirit you have, you project it through your associates. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You see the natural people pick up on another spirit. He said, well, then what if we have the Holy Spirit, yes, you can project that, amen, to one another. Amen. The influence that influences you, you can influence somebody with that influence. Yeah. What about if it comes from God? Yeah. The angel says, you get the people to believe you.
Yeah.
He said, not believe me as a man, but believe what I'm telling you about him, yes, that is right.
Yes.
Especially when I show you in the Bible.
Yes.
Especially when I show you what the prophet said. You know that can be the devil influence.
Amen.
You know that's God influence.
Yes.
Because you read the same book, you hear the same thing, but it didn't strike you that way.
Yes.
And then God brings out a certain way, and you see it.
Amen.
You know that's God's influence.
Amen.
They not believe in me, you believe in the influence.
Yes.
And then put your man in the same influence. Because you sit in the world right there when you sit under the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, now watch. Jairus will have a little faith. He had been talking to his wife, and she got a little faith. So they put their arms around one another, said, come on in now. Now he's saying that for a purpose. He said, make them I come home. Wife all nervous, house torn apart, the children there, fighting among themselves. He said, quickly, I realized what's happened. I don't want to start a whole noise. What can I go in this house and carry on? He said, same thing. You all go to church and so I kick aside, and you only make the atmosphere greater than what it was already in. But in the spirit of correction, you want to use authority. It's a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of revelation. He said, my heart, I begin to pray. Oh God, quiet them. He said, I woke up and put your hands on my back. Honey, what's the matter? Ma, you look worn out. Guess you had a hard day. He said, when he put his hand upon her, she don't know. He's praying in his heart. He said, Lord, let your love in me, your spirit in me, project itself into her. Let this quietness and this peace, this atmosphere, let me be a conductor of that kind of electricity that it flows straight into her. See? He said, honey, I tell you, you know, I saw the prettiest little dress today down the road. He said, I see a little trickle of a smile. He said, no, the atmosphere is already changing. He said, you don't know what it is to cast out spirits. Now, God trained him that he could train us. Now, we would come to, he says, all Roberts go up there with bulldog feet and say, I cast this thing out to you. He said, but me, he said, I can't work, sir. He said, I have to take the word and find the thing. We're not trying that old Pentecostal without revelation, which is a boost of the senses. That don't work. But that same kind of faith will make you go and beg our unbeliever for money after.
Amen.
But the kind of faith that Jehovah Jireh could create squirrels that will lead you to that kind of faith, that's where the bride called to walk. Because all Robert wasn't our messenger to train us. He couldn't train us for where we were going. He didn't know that next world, and we are going to that next world. You understand what I'm saying? He walked over there, and all on the outside of that wall was unbelief. So he was empowered with the Spirit that could even speak in unknown tongues. Talita kumai. He shut the door. And now you only had a certain atmosphere. Jairus, who saw something. Peter, James, and John, faith, hope, and charity. And then he, under the power of the vision, who knew what was going to break. They were united in a certain realm. So he took the little girl by the hand and said, Talita Kumai. And way out yonder in the spirit land, where her little spirit was, we turned back. She began to squeeze his hand. He raised her up and said, now give us something to eat. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. He said, we ought to get ourselves in that kind of an atmosphere. Create, each one of you the creator. Did you know that? Each one of you people have been born again as a creator. We must create an atmosphere, as I said the other night. And then he goes on to explain, like when you go home, like we were just saying to you. And what happens? Then he says, it's the atmosphere. You can't get away from it. From that old confusion, you are scared. That's what's the matter. He says, now catch this now. You'll be frying your meat of a morning for breakfast. And the first thing you know, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. How many feel like that? Frying meat in the kitchen full of the Holy Spirit? He said, I'm going to shock you a little bit. You don't mind, do you? All right. The meat's frying. And all at once, the grease pops out on your hand. Now, if you just shake it off and go on frying the meat, it won't bother you. Now, I know you didn't get that just right. See? He's bringing us into the supernatural where you create the right atmosphere and it happens. And he's dealing with people who grab and many times they disturb and create another atmosphere unconsciously because they're so self-conscious. Now watch. Now if you just shake it up and go right and find me, they won't bother you. Now I know you didn't get that right. Look, the first thing, you say, oh, where's the ungantine? I guess that's some medicine to rub on it. You see, grab your hand. See, it scares you to death. That's what does it, it's fear. Peter walked in the water, he was walking all right. Till he seen the waves contrary and got scared. Jesus said, why do you fear? That's what's the matter with the Holy Ghost people today. They got a lot of afraid. The devil just trying to scare you up to something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Says some of these days, you will be this. He's always the devil telling people, you can't be that now, but one of these days you're going to be that. He said, you are now. Now are we the sons of God. Now are we seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heavens and earth. See? Now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now we are the sons of God. It doesn't appear what we shall be. But we know we shall be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those we call it justified, those we just, is that right?
Yes.
Those he justified, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Woo, he says, wasn't that deep? All right, we will find out whether it's right or not. If it's a tabernacle be dissolved, you have one with, is that right? So right now, and what we are there is a reflection here. Here that we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it comes from.
Yeah.
You know where your other body is waiting. Now you say about the grease in the hand. You come back to the grease in the hand when you're frying the meat. The Lord told Paul he had to go down and appear before Caesar. And he got shipwrecked out there. And the Lord gave him a vision. Told him what was going to happen. 14 days and 40 nights. We took it last week. No stars, no moon, no nothing. Didn't worry, Paul. Because he knew what the Lord said. He said, I saw a vision last night. A man stood by me and told me I was going to be taken before Caesar. He said, I seen in a vision the ship was going to be wrecked on a certain island. But yet nobody life going to be lost. He said, the Lord done told me so. He said, we are going to be of good courage. I can see that little Jew shaking his hands and screaming at the top of his voice. The ship just pitched as hard as it did. Didn't bother him. He knew what the Lord had said.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So when they got on shore, there's a big storm being out there, and rain and cold. Paul was picking up some sticks. He throws some in the fire. Big dangerous snake grab his hand. Remember the oil dropping in the hand, right? When they find him. It never scared Paul. He looked at it like that, full of the Holy Ghost. His whole inner body just charged with the power of God. He looked at it, just shook it in the fire. And said, I've got to go before Caesar. What's been bothering me about? Look like that and went on. It didn't bother. It didn't scare him a bit. See, a little oil is full of 100 frying the meat. We go, oh God, you see, I got burning. And now we give a medicine and look at it. We go, that can't just fill the atmosphere. He says, but look at Paul. He looks at the viper, shakes the viper, says, what you bother me for? I got to go before Caesar. And keeps on walking. It don't bother him no more a bit. Why? Because he's in another atmosphere where he see where God want to take him. Then when we come in to be prayed for, why do we come? Oh God, Lord, tonight touch me. We don't have to do that. He said, that's why I see prostitutes come in and get healed and sainted people. He said, you want the scripture for that? Look at all the Pharisees and Sadducees in there. As righteous and holy as they live, they couldn't receive it. They think with mental telepathy. I'm going to have a woman off the street, Mary Magdalene, you want to do well, all them. Look how they got it. You see? It's by faith. Is this helping you? I trust it is. I'm trying to show you. We talk about the sleeping sins is all around us, 20 feet from us. The resurrection is 20 feet from us. Then where is healing? How far is your healing away? You see what I mean? How close is Israel to the promised land? 3 days or 40 years? If the attitude is right, it'll be 3 days. If it's in the right atmosphere, it'll be 3 days. They got in the wrong atmosphere, it was 40 years. Some of them are so close to the promise, but you can't move into it. But you don't know how to move into it. Think of that. Let's read the next scripture quickly and close. Mark chapter 8, just turn a little further down the same book. It's good we take these little things, little prayer service night, so we come and we ask God for a lot of things in these meetings. Sometimes we are very well impressed. We impress ourselves that we prayed for 2 solid hours and we made every detail known about every situation. And we said, well, praise God, I get up there, it have to come to pass now. Mark 8, verse 22. Look at Jesus again. And he came to Bethsaida. Remember in Matthew 11, he said, warn the Chorazin, warn the Bethsaida, warn the Capernaum. If the works have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, have been done in you, they'll still be standing. Notice that? You come to this city here now. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town. nor tell it to any in the tongue. He wasn't going to do no works in that tongue. He couldn't do nothing in that tongue. And that tongue had no blessing to receive, because that tongue had called the works the devil. That tongue had rejected it. But when he came in that tongue, and they brought the man to him, he took the man out of the tongue. He is God, and he could heal anyway, but he couldn't heal him inside that tongue. The atmosphere in there wasn't right. He had to take him where he was to himself, where he can really work with him to bring the man up into a higher order, to lift him out of that condition where he come down to and bring him back into a place where he's going to receive his sight. What does it tell us? Again, there is something about the atmosphere a person must be in to receive something. Turn to Acts 9. Verse 36. Sometimes God has to get people who are unbelievers. They get so close with unbelievers. They get under the atmosphere of unbelievers that if he does anything for them, he don't want to send them back among those unbelievers. We're going to bring that same old thing right back upon them. You have to separate them and take them out where they can receive what is going to benefit them. Now watch. Verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Watch that. From health, she dropped down into sickness. From sickness, she dropped down into death. Whom when they had washed, they laid in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. They had some sense. They knew one that was anointed and commissioned. They knew one who was vindicated before their eyes. They knew in the Bible the Shunammite woman went to the man of God. They had scriptures and these to base them things on. See, now watch. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by weeping and showing the coats and the garments. See, a very sentimental, emotional atmosphere, which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. He didn't want to play. He was the most holy man, and they can't pray together with him. And it shall be, if two or three agree upon anything, it shall be done. He realized the atmosphere where they were in. They was taken up emotionally, filled with sentiment and these things, and the mood that they were in, the Holy Spirit couldn't work there. And he put them all forth because he had to get the atmosphere right for something to happen. And he said, look at this, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And when she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he carried many days in Joppa. He carried many days in Joppa, with one Simon the Tanner. Why did he do that? They was trained by Jesus. They watched the ministry of Jesus that they was identified with. And they watched what happened in Jairus' house. And they wasn't trying to impersonate that. But they understood how to work in the supernatural realm. That the ministry of Jesus, who live in two worlds, was sent to train them. To lift them up in a higher order. That in the air, they could function. Because Peter knew what happened to him in the boat at the time. He knew what happened to him when he began to fear. He knew about that humanistic realm that people get in. He knew if he lived up in a little higher realm than that, something could happen. And he exercised in those things. And a message, have faith in God, New York City. The prophet says, he said, now we trust that you will just have faith and believe now. Tonight, I wish we have a little request here. Sister Leah Narayanson requests prayer and deliverance from an attack of asthma. Brother James requests prayer for his son who is sick with diarrhea. So you who have a request in your heart and believe it, listening to the word, listening to seeing the scriptures. What we're talking about here, to get into that place where you can exercise in that law. There's a law of electricity. Hallelujah. Electricity was here since creation. A man named Benjamin Franklin found it. But he didn't even know what he found. Then a man named Thomas Edison came behind him, took what he found, and began to work with it, and was able to benefit all mankind and give the world electricity. But though that electricity was there, if everybody just go to scream and shout, oh, electricity light up the place, it couldn't light up the place. But when they begin to work by the law of electricity and harness it and govern it and use it, then all humanity could benefit by it because they know how to work with it. It's that simple, friend. What is here? What has been here since creation? The Holy Spirit. Genesis 1 said, and the Spirit of God moved. It started off. God moving there. That the same Spirit tonight that would have to deliver these people, quicken them and lift them up into a place where they could have the assurance that it's finished. That the same Spirit that we spoke to tonight in prayer, presenting our requests, making it known before Him, expecting Him to answer, is that same Spirit. If we pray to another Spirit, who is communing with demons. It had to be that Spirit in Genesis. The Spirit of God. There's only one Spirit, one true Spirit. Look. He said there is something about human spirit that you have to get the human spirit settled to you. Now you say that's psychology, Brother Branham. Well, if it is, the Lord Jesus used it. He put them all out of their house that day. With Jairus, when he rose his daughter from the dead. You remember that? Took a man outside the city, put plaster over his eyes and healed him. Another deaf man he made to hear. Peter, when he went to the house with Dorcas, is dead. The men were all weeping and going, he put them out, everyone, like that, to get to himself alone. Jesus usually take two or three as a witness, like Peter, James, and John. But sometimes you have to be alone. Remember with the widow, when her son died in 1 Kings 17? Elijah didn't call the widow in. She was all frantic. She would say, is my sin come to remembrance of this and that and the other? He took the boy and went up in the loft. Prayed. His life came back to him and he brought him back down. Elisha went in the room with the other little boy that was on his bed, shut the door, leave Gehazi and the woman outside. Is that right? With the father and them. And then he prayed. The boy sneezed 7 times and he called Gehazi and said, give him back. He didn't bring them all in. Why? He had to get the atmosphere right. He said, sometimes you even have to get alone. He said, I noticed the most powerful times I have under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and my wife present tonight knows it, is when I get a patient to themselves, off in the room where there's no one, but just them and myself. Ask someone who's been in there, and they will know. That's when rarely the Lord works mightily. But now in this way, it's more than just a sign to you people. Don't want the big meeting. He said the big meeting, that is just a sign to you people. He said, when you really want to see the work, just let me get one person by ourselves. He said, you ask anybody who's been on that. He said, but now in this way, it's no more than just a sign to you people that Jesus Christ is a vindicating that what he has been preached to you is the truth. See, Hebrews 11:2 says, God testify of his gifts. God makes manifest. Though you do not believe his word, yet he's willing to come to you in some other way to manifest his love to you. Isn't that wonderful? How unworthy we creatures are of such love. Brother, sister, that's what the world needs, is some more love of God. That's what the world is hungry for today, is more love of God. If we show a little more love to one another, little more love towards God, how much better our churches and individuals, and how much better we'd be if we just love one another. If we love one another, then we can love God, for God is love. What about in a church? Sometimes some of us sit down there, we're skeptical, and we wonder, oh, we never hear that before, we don't see that way, or it's not revealed to us, and we get in an attitude with it. We see, if God get people alone by themselves, think of what can be done. If we can change the atmosphere around us, you change the atmosphere in your home, with your family, you could change it in the church. Change it in the church, you could change it with believers, where they are gathered together. If we tonight could just realize that there's a law of God to work with, and watch how when they work with that, sovereign grace produce what they was looking for. They didn't have to struggle. God, in his own sovereignty, by his own grace, what they could even merit, he did it. Because we create the right atmosphere, we get in the right attitude for it to happen. And you watch and see, it changes things. Let's pray. We have these requests. You just believe tonight. Just ask God to get your heart right, your mind right. You realize the spiritual things. You realize that behind all the great healings and miracles in the Bible, the resurrection of Dorcas, the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, the healing of the blind man, it wasn't just power alone. It was a certain atmosphere that Jesus knew he had to change and get right, to work in, to see those things operate. He taught Peter and them that, and then they did it, and they saw it. They got the same results because they worked by the same law. Our gracious Father, Lord, as we look at these scriptures tonight and we ponder them in our hearts, how grateful we are to know the things that you have made us to understand. Because, dear God, you realize many times we struggle at things and only push ourselves farther away from it. Yet we wonder why it don't happen. Yet we think it's something, Lord, that is wrong, or something that, some reason why I didn't do it, but yet we don't know how to find it. Yet we become disappointed and frustrated sometimes. But dear God, you have opened these things up. We will not have to grab, we will not have to wonder and ponder. But Lord, we'd be able to approach these things the right way. And without a shadow of a doubt, knowing that we'll get the right results. For you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And all these things, Lord, have been laid out in your word is governed by a law. A law of love, a law of faith. And gracious God, tonight as we have these requests before us, our precious little sister Leah with this asthmatic attack, and our brother James, little boy with diarrhea. Lord, as they believe, and we believe together with them, as we project our love towards them, Father, these who are standing in the need of prayer, realizing, oh God, it could have been us, it could have been our loved ones. Dear God, we put ourselves in their place tonight. Lord, ask that you be gracious unto them. Your gracious Holy Spirit will just come right down and lift them up above these things. This affliction that the enemy have tried to afflict them with, you'd break the power of the enemy around their lives now. And the Holy Spirit, Lord, would bring such an atmosphere of faith into their hearts. They would have the assurance and the witness from your Holy Spirit that your word is true. Heaven will pass away, but your word will never pass away. And if we abide in your word and your word abide in us, we can ask what we will. Grant it, Father. Confirm your word in their lives. May it become such a reality to them, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And as we leave this place tonight, Lord, to go to our homes, gracious God, how we thank you for what you are doing amongst us. This great desire that we will not miss it, Lord. And every way that your Holy Spirit can show to us to try to drive our hearts deeper down into the Word and make us more conscious and more sensitive to the operation of the Holy Spirit to bring our hearts and minds and the attitude. Lord, where we can come into harmony with you and we can work together with you, Lord, cooperate with your word, that you can lift us up into a higher order. You can lead on our souls to believe things that our mind cannot even reason. But we can know it is you, the same God, the God of this Bible. Lord, in the lives of such simple, ordinary people that you perform these great, mighty things. Work in such supernatural realms, Lord. You are here to work with your church today. Even far beyond that, because this is the hour when this mortal will put on immortality. When we'll change from this dimension to that other dimension. When we'll go to the wedding supper. All these great, mighty things that is fixing to happen. Lord, may you have your way amongst us. And may you teach us, oh, deeper yet we pray and higher every day. Wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Just want to call Brother Monty before you leave the building. He had a testimony he wanted to give. So he's been working real hard on something God has done for him. And just want to share it by God's grace.
The experience I went through is more battle in the mind than thing. And the enemy and I'm making me see the enemy end up making me the battle that I had in my mind really. through the experience, God ended up showing me, bringing all the experience to be His honor and glory. But the experience is like, one day, I went and hunt up in the bush, and God did give my experience with a rock, even the 12 rock that is in the baptism pool, behind. And he came back and he showed me my experience in a rock wise hunting. I reached in a, such a place like almost in the edge of the road, but I knew that I was in Christ. Do I reach there? And like the enemy wanted me was to showing me ladies who I surprised, you understand? To know them kind of beautiful ladies will come. But a scripture come and showing me, remember in the time of Noah, the sons of God took unto the daughters of men. That when it struck me, that just keep me by God's grace. I knew that it was God's grace. Keep me. And then going to hunt and coming out, a friend in my experience with some dog, like it was running down a tattoo. And it went in a rock. And in that rock, the Lord attracted me to the hole of the rock in coming out. And began to show me the trap that they set up around the hole to get it to come out in the trap. And God began to take me and show me like my life, like that tattoo inside of that rock. When they went back in 3 days' time, the tattoo didn't come out. And they took a piece of stick up inside the hole to see if, well, what happened. When they took the stick inside the hole to see what happened, the tattoo ended up dying and they get any smell of it rotting inside the rock. So, and the Lord began to show me that my life is like that. Though the enemy was setting trap to try to make me come out from underneath the word. You understand? Yet still I stayed there regardless of how much trials. You understand? I stayed there and I realized like it's a death taking place in my life. And I appreciate by God's grace. That's all I have.
Amen. Amen. God could teach, you could see God in everything. Probably say God have to be on the inside in order for you to see him on the outside. Amen. Great is he that is in me. God bless you as we're about to leave. See you on Sunday morning, Lord's willing. Let us come up early with great anticipations. Let's take these little principles. Last week we talked about Paul in the ship. In that realm where God can communicate to him, his word stabilize him. The other day, speaking about that, creating that atmosphere, let's live in that place. We are being brought into a place where God can truly rapture us away. We can walk consciously like Enoch, walking with God. And God knowing he was going to take him, God could talk with him the things that would enable him to leave this world, to go where he was going. Amen. He that is in the world, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, great is he. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, believe that now. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Than he On the day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost, like a rushing mighty wind, flew into the upper room. Oh, there was one man who wanna call up there. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. Oh, Satan like a roaring lion. Shake that vibe in the fire and keep on going, amen. He that is in. Oh, great is he. God bless you.